Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to our 10:30 show on June 9th, 2022. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio. And I'm going to start every show like that, like this right now, with saying thank you to all the teachers and educators who put together an amazing school year this year. We wish you well. If you're already done school, have a great summer, okay? And if you're not done yet, hey, it's coming soon. All right, you did a great job, everybody. Be proud of yourselves. That's from superintendents down through everybody involved underneath that, okay? Just incredible, okay? Tough times, okay? And we love you for doing what you're doing, okay? So at any rate, hey, we got a good show for you today. I got my friends from Schlechte Center here. We have Nancy Rendon Doni. Nance, I hope I pronounced your last name right. I'm going to do Doni, but it might be Downey. Okay, and also Kat Crawford, who's their Executive Director of Digital Innovation. Schlechte Center, okay, is a private nonprofit organization that's committed to partnering with education leaders who are interested in nurturing a culture of engagement in their organizations, and in how they hope it increases profound learning for students. This is what they do, and they work with school districts all over the country. Nancy and Kat were kind enough to come on today, and we're going to talk kind of about redesigning education design. It's going to be a fun show with two experts in the field who help a lot of school districts literally every day. Okay, they're incredible. When I bring Nancy on in just a minute, she's going to give me the correct pronunciation of her last name. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, our home website for our Consortium for Equity. All our podcasts are over there. Our magazine, Equity and Access, Pre-K-12 is over there. Our teacher retention site, all about educator shortage, scares us. Stay in your job, please. Okay, we know who we're talking to. Is it? They're all linked over at ace-ed.org. Teacher retention, SEL today, extremely important, and our Equity Awards program, the Excellence in Equity Awards. Please go in there and see all the stuff we're doing. All right, so it's all over at ace-ed.org. And without further ado, let me bring on my guests. Here we go. Yeah, I'm waiting. Okay, there we go. Nancy,
hi, how are you?
Hi, Nance. I'm good. Nance, how do you pronounce your last
Kat.
Name? Okay, I know. Hi, Kat. Nancy, how do you pronounce your last name?
Rendon Doni.
Boy, did I kill that one. I did Rendon Doni. Okay, Nancy Rendon Doni, right?
Yes.
Thank you, Nance. I appreciate that. I'm sorry I messed that up from the beginning. Okay? Thank you. And hi, Nance. How you doing? Ms. Rendoni.
Just fine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Kat, how are you, Kat Crawford?
Doing very well, thank you.
Are you both down in Texas today? And how's the – I'll ask Kat, how's the weather? I think the heat is coming.
Well, you know. Yeah, we're supposed to, it says, enjoy these 90s days now.
Whew, that's not a good sign. That's never a good sign, okay? I read Vegas is going to go to 109, so I hope you guys fare a little bit better. Ugh. Wow. Yeah, good luck. What can I tell you? All right. I tried to give a good overview there of Schlechte Center. I love this group. They now have incorporated the National Superintendents Roundtable, our old friends. They've been working with superintendents for years. They're doing just great work, and then they work with school districts. Kat, why don't you tell us more? You'll do a better job than me.
Well, I think from the work that Nancy and I do, we're very lucky to work at all different levels of the school and come in and kind of figure out what it is that needs to be done to really create a focus of engagement. And typically, the work that we get asked to do is looking with teachers about redesigning their work. And so we were really excited to kind of share that with you. And actually, we just came back from 2 days in a Texas district doing this exact work. So we have some really great examples. Fresh off the press for you.
There you go. I mean, we're going to ask you about that, okay? I'm going to ask you right now, okay? And I'll use you, Kat, as the point person. Swing it over to Nancy whenever you like, okay? So that way you'll know exactly where to go. But, you know, if you want to identify the district, you can, but I congratulate them for looking at ways to improve the kids' learning. Okay, so what did you tell them over there? What were the challenges? What'd you do? Let's just get right into that.
Yeah, absolutely. So our goal with this particular two-day session around Design Camp was redesigning work. And one of the reasons that we really value this is because it allows teachers to look at work that they've previously designed. They sort of map everything out in a web, and they thoroughly examine what was it that did well for the kids. What is it that the kids just loved and really responded to and were really engaged with? And then where are some areas that it maybe didn't work so well?
Yeah.
And this process of reflection allows teachers to highlight the motives that students bring to their work. They get to look at the actual work itself and like step back and look at it as a real big picture and think, is this timely work? Is this relevant? Is this innovative? And they ask themselves a lot of questions, especially in those areas that maybe weren't working quite so well. And then I think the biggest factor right now when it comes to retention is that it also reinforces that teachers do not have to start from scratch, which can just feel so overwhelming with everything else that we have on our plate.
Yeah.
So those are some elements that are really critical. And I'll say one other in the specific work we just did is that Nancy and I designed this particular two-day session to allow a lot of feedback from the teachers on what they needed. And so a lot of the information that we were going to share with them, they got to design what information specifically they wanted from us.
Yeah.
And I think that is a huge piece of letting them lead the process and design that for them that gives them some ownership over their professional learning. And I'm going to turn it over, thank you, to Nancy to talk a little bit more about like the characteristics and like the whole kind of overarching view of that.
And one question before you do that, okay,
yeah.
What grades are we talking? Are we talking about pre-K-12 educators or just elementary or whatever the case may be?
No,
what are we talking
this was
about
pre-K-12. This was a co-teacher who specifically worked with autistic students. This was a DAEP program. So we had everybody in the room, and that's really critical too because design isn't just for a core content or a specific grade level. It's for everybody.
Right. It is. And the redesigning work, you're talking about the work we give to the students, but it's also really our challenge is the work we do to provide the right thing for the students. Okay? It's really an interesting kind of definition of what we have to do. We redesign our work so the students can do their work better. Is that what we're saying? Really think about it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, Nancy, share some of the characteristics because I think that will really highlight that question really well.
Oh, go ahead. Nancy, go ahead, please. Hi, Nancy.
Thank you. Well,
you're welcome.
You know, I think because our organization, we do have a point of view and we want clarity on how we define engagement. And so that's
Thank
one
you.
Of the things we spend our time on in that we really believe engagement, that we have to get people's attention. We need them to persist in the work. We need students and teachers to, you know, commit the resources, the time, the energy, and the effort. And they do that because there is something of value in the work. You know, there's many reasons for doing work and doing whatever you're asked to do, but we want the motive to be intrinsic to the work, and I think that's really important. So we spend some time, you know, getting clarity on that, and then we have a framework that we call the 10 design qualities, and those are really characteristics of work or attributes, categories of motives, you know, that people bring to the work. And so when you are intentional in thinking about your who, thinking about whoever your audience is, whether they are adult learners or your students, and you can be responsive to their needs by the way you design the work, then you just increase the likelihood that more of your students will be engaged in the work. They'll find meaning and value. They'll give attention. They'll stick with it when it gets difficult or challenging, and they won't give up. And that's a challenge because, and also I think within that, it changes the role of the teacher because kids can get access to information in all sorts of ways now outside of the teacher. And so that teacher really becomes a leader and a guide to instruction and a designer of work. Now, what of work would get my kids' attention and they would willingly invest the time and effort and stick with it because something about it has value. And I think that is one of the things we bring to the table and giving teachers that time to think about that and be intentional. Because I think teachers do some of that every day. I mean, every day they have that challenge of giving kids work. And it's hard. It's a tough challenge. Given the tension to be today.
it's brutal. And, you know, you bring up something interesting. It's up to a teacher to facilitate learning. All right? That's what we're really talking about here. And I don't know whether you'll ever agree with me, but I think it's time to change the name of the profession. All right? We are not teachers. We are learning facilitators. We are managing the learning of children. Kids have a million ways they can learn. Someone has to manage that for them. Someone has to point them in the right directions. Okay? We're not teachers unless the kids are learning. All right? And that's the bottom line is learning, not the teaching side. Teaching reflects on us. Learning reflects on the kids. What do you think of that, Nance?
Well, you know, Phil Schleck used to say, learning is a byproduct of getting kids to do the right things.
Yep.
You know, and so if we want kids to learn certain things, then what's the work that requires them to need the instruction so that it results in them learning that which we want them to learn? Because the content itself sometimes is not the motivator of kids.
That's right. That's right.
You know, but I can work if you give me something of value to do and let me mess with that content in a way that has meaning for me. So I think that's the challenge. It's about what's the work that will earn the attention, you know, so that they will willingly commit to doing the work at risk
great
learning.
Great line. Right. The key word being willingly. I love that. You know, I have another question for you, Nancy. This is interesting. These are tough times for educators. There's an educator shortage. Teachers are being asked to cover classes that on their free periods. All right? They're exhausted. And I have to say, you were in Texas. You are in Texas. You work with the Texas district. And, of course, we had the Uvalde, Texas tragedy, the horror show of that, just 10 days ago, whatever that is now. Okay? And teachers are exhausted. And three of the words you used were time, energy, and effort. And you did this just a couple of days ago with Texas-based teachers. And you're asking them to put their time, their effort, their energy into this. And everybody would agree with that. But what was their reaction in this teaching climate right now? As you said, you have to find time to do this. You have to find more energy to do this. Okay? How did they react to that, Nance?
To this session, you mean? To attending something like?
Well, you know, you said it. It's going to require time, energy, and effort. And I know your session is wonderful. You don't have to explain that any further than that. Okay? But these are tough times, and I'm just curious how they reacted to it, in particularly these tough times, and especially in Texas.
Well, I think when teachers are offered opportunities that have meaning for them, that they see relevant to the work that they do and to their world, they're much more responsive to giving that time. I don't think a teacher I mean, I think every teacher believes in the work that they do. They have a love for kids. They want to make an impact. And
sure.
It's not necessarily about giving more money. It's about these are things that I need. I need time also.
Good point.
And I think that's a really important and critical point that teachers are bombarded with many, many things coming at them from all different places. You know, somebody may say, well, I'm only sending one email, but that teacher is getting 15 emails from 15 different people, you know.
Right.
And so I think the time and the way that the school day is built doesn't allow a lot of time for teachers to reflect, to design work, to talk with one another, to learn from one another. I think the structure of the day, and that's one of the things we also talk about, is how do we redesign our system so that it will support a culture of engagement. You know, schools weren't built and designed for engagement.
That's
a challenge.
Yeah, it's an incredible challenge. Especially these times. Kat, what are your thoughts about all this? Finding more time, more effort, more energy to do something new and different, which, by the way, I think is great. But I'm just trying to put it into this time perspective of right now, a week and a half after Uvalde. Yeah. What'd you find?
Absolutely. Well, I can say that, you know, the feedback that we got was exceptional, both
great.
In our surveys, but also in person. And you know, people were candid. They said, I wasn't looking forward to professional learning. Like, I just wrapped up my school year. The last thing I want to do is dive back into, you know, thinking about next year. And, it, you know, not every district runs professional learning right then and there. Sometimes there's a break in there. And for these teachers to come back immediately and really throw themselves into something like this, you know, is asking a lot, right? But they said, this is what I needed, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of times, I think that one thing that we all learn in reflection of not just the, you know, the massive school shootings that are happening or the changes that are happening in education or the sort of post-ish pandemic times is that it is just as important for us to take care of ourselves and our needs as it is for us to have that break. And sometimes when you sort of get to take a step back from your day-to-day routine and you get to kind of fill your bucket with new tools or new knowledge, that is a time when, you know, you can kind of grow and reflect on the things that you've been doing and step away from that. This is my everyday routine. And that is something that refreshes people and energizes them. You know, I think the biggest aha moment that I heard, and it's something we talk a lot about with work, is like, who is doing the work, right? At the end of the day, is it the teacher that is creating every last little thing and then the students are just filling in the bubbles or filling in the lines? Or are we actually putting the onus on students to actually do the work? And, you know, thinking about it, it was just such a little example. I just said, just like a Kahoot, why are you creating the Kahoot? The kids should be creating the Kahoot. And they looked at me like, wait, what? And that was one person's like final reflection in our share case, was that they're going to have their students, you know, create all these things. And I think that is a big change, right? We, especially when it comes to technology, often spend a lot of time making all of the materials with all of the tools as teachers, and then we're giving them to students to like passively receive, as opposed to saying, no, here are the tools, go and produce and create.
You do it.
I'm going to give you the content, right? And I'm going to facilitate and guide you through this process. And that can be a big shift for folks, but it's also really relaxing. When you see that shift happen, it gives students a lot of excitement in the classroom to be those producers and creators.
Of course.
And for the teachers, it takes so much off their plate. I was talking to a teacher, I showed her a website of pre-created slide decks that were just all different types of things. And she said, I look at my slide decks. I make slide decks just like this, but I make every single one of them from scratch. I mean, let's just sit with that for a minute.
That's a
lot of time.
I know. And this is what it's so, when you guys go in to do a training like this, redesigning work, all right, it's so important because this day and age, you need to think about things in a different way. Everything's changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we were in education school 20 years ago, okay? It's not the same schools anymore, okay? Especially post-pandemic and the horrors of safety and all that sort of thing. I mean, it's just absolutely, you know, there's other things on people's minds, all right? And we got to, if I may, take advantage of that and facilitate the learning in this environment and change the way we do it. And that's why I think those teachers were so happy to have you done. And by the way, you got excellent reviews on this literally end of year professional development you did in this crazy year in Texas, 10 days after Uvalde. So I have to congratulate both of you on getting excellent reviews. That's saying something.
Thank you. Yeah,
I mean,
and
really.
We got hugs. I mean, hugs and reviews. Like, that's, that's the top of the bar right there. I know.
Wow. Who needs the reviews? The hugs do it all. The hugs do it all. You know? It's just that's really saying something. That's really saying something because it's a tough atmosphere right now. Okay? And there's a lot of stuff.
Things did come up. Yeah. People are still actively processing a lot of the safety and security concerns. Processing, you know,
I mean,
they're thinking constantly about what this environment will look like for them in the fall. And that is something that you have to be prepared for is, you know, I know a lot of folks were sharing resources immediately afterwards about how do we talk to our kids about this, but where are the resources for how do we talk to our teachers about this?
Exactly. Exactly, and that actually brings up an interesting point. Were the schools administrators with you guys, or was it just teachers?
We had a couple of folks. Some people were popping in and out. Apparently, there was a little like word of mouth spreading around. Some people, check out this session. So we did have some kind of people who came in to see what was going on because it was such a unique flow. We had a representative there who was an AP and an instructional coach. So there was an administrator in the group, and then we had another new instructional coach in the space. And then we had someone just kind of facilitating kind of the environment with us who was part of the central office team.
And you know, I have to say something, and I guess I already said complimented you guys. To me, you know, all these things you're telling people, this is great. But teachers, okay, don't make the decisions of the entire district. They don't make the decisions of the school. And Nancy touched on this a few minutes ago. They don't make the decisions of time, all right? That schedule is put together by administrators, all right? And when you do and you guys are excellent with administrators. Like I said, you have National Superintendents Roundtable, et cetera. Okay, but there has to be, and you know this, a coordination between this wonderful stuff, and you guys are good at this, telling them, okay, what needs to be done and how to get the time to do it. And that's why I think the administrators really need to, what's your thoughts on that? I'll ask Kat, but you can swing it to Nancy if you want.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the reasons that our organization is successful in the work that we do is because we work with all aspects of the school. And for sure, what you're talking about when we're working with teachers, you hear things that you're like, oh, well, that's outside of the teacher's control. And if we want to make space for a teacher to do that successfully, we're going to have conversations with other parties in order to create that.
Now you do
space,
that.
Right? We do, yeah, and we do share that with them, too. We want them to understand that, like, when they hit that roadblock, we understand that that is not a roadblock they can particularly move. But I think because of the relationships that we develop across a district, we have, in a lot of cases, the flexibility to reach out to someone and say, you know, are you open to some feedback? Or here's some things that we heard, and we'd love to help be a thought partner on designing a system that might you know, kind of create a space for this to occur in your classroom if that's something that you're looking for. And, you know, we've not only helped teachers, but we design entire systems that function in schools.
Yes, you do.
And I definitely want to turn that over to Nancy because she does a ton of that work and could really kind of illuminate a little bit more on it.
Great. Ladies and gentlemen, the amazing Nancy Rendoni.
So one of the things we do, Larry, is that we work with, when we work with the district, we oftentimes, and when we get to the school level, we often have what we call a school design team. And this is a unique team that it's not necessarily a representative team. It's just the right people that should be part of this team who think, a little more, I don't know, it's kind of a messy process because there isn't a tried and true way to a team is the team that thinks about how do we create the conditions. If our core business is that of designing engaging work for kids, then how do we redesign systems? What do we need to put into place? What do we need to stop doing, start doing, so that we can have that focus? And so that team thinks about how is time allotted, and they look at different resources, and we talk about design resources as time, people, space, information, and technology. And technology, we look at it as how you get the job done. Doesn't just necessarily mean digital tools, but do folks have skills and processes and tools they need to do the work that we need them to do? And so that's a team that it's kind of like you go to the balcony and you're looking at all the moving parts in your schoolhouse and saying, what do we have in place that supports this and what needs to change and how do we go about doing that? And so they're thinking very strategically. It's not about we have to have all the answers, but we're calling the question. You know, Phil used to say that's the team that they're problem causers, you know, that they call the question about, you know, what if? What if we did this? What if or how could we? How might we? And you need folks who think outside of or in a new box, who think differently about the way school can be done with the focus on student benefit and student engagement. So that's a unique team. It's unlike any other kind of team that's in the district. And I have to say I've been working with the district with their school design teams, and the way we structured it, it was all virtual. But I met with each team for 2 hours every other month talking about these things, having them thinking about their campus, reflecting, determining decisions that they needed to make so that teachers could continue to design the work, think about the time, you know, what did teachers need to do what they need to do for kids. And so that's a way that we approach that systems piece is through the work of that design team.
And, you know, you've used the term reflection a couple of times already, and I think that's important. You got to reflect upon what you're doing, and you make a point of that. I want to ask you guys this: with everything going on out there, we still have to worry, okay, about the equity challenges. Every kid is different, okay, and you know it's hard for teachers. You want to personalize the learning, okay, and you want to design engaging work, but every kid is different. A kid from a wealthy suburb, okay, is different from a Latino kid who doesn't speak English, okay, and is just coming into fourth or fifth grade, okay, and yet that kid is put in your class, all right, and that's what we do for a living, all right. But how do you design a classroom and take the time to do this and do it right with equity and access in mind? And again, I'll throw it to Kat, and you guys decide who answers that.
Yeah, absolutely. Designers are always designing for someone, right? The best designers know who they're designing for and what their motives, needs, and values are. Those designers create products that are way more appealing to their clients. And the same is true for teachers, especially when we bring in innovative tools like technology that allow us
yep.
to personalize the work that we design in the classroom so that it can be customized for each student. So for example, yesterday we had that co-teacher I mentioned who was designing for a pair of Fed students in a lecture-based high school classroom. And in the webbing, she identified that her students needed a variety of options in the way they
yep.
access notes and how much information
wow.
the actual notes had to collect, synthesize, and process. So she created a model where some students would be taking notes just completely from scratch on a blank piece of paper. Some students might have like a fill-in-the-blank that they, you know, kind of guide them through the
yep.
lecture process. And then
yep.
some students might get the notes and go through and be highlighting, circling, underlining things that were going to help them process that information. And because of technology, which is so amazing, we can send every student the type of note-taking sort of document that is appropriate for them.
Yep.
And that is what it is about sort of getting to know who you are specifically designing for and then being able to create that personalized experience that you're talking about. And that creates the equity and access that all students need in every classroom.
Yeah, and I love the way you said the way you have to access the way a kid looks at their notes. Okay, I thought that was very interesting. Now, you know, I was a history major. So I took notes from every darn lecture in the world in college, and for me it wasn't a problem. For some reason, I was good at it. But other people, if they don't have good note takers or can't access the right notes, this is back in the old days even, they were doomed. Okay?
Right.
And it's just a great example.
Written. Yeah,
yes.
We're talking a lot about written. One other example from a humanities teacher was that there was a specific term where the two words had an opposite meaning in government than they traditionally do in the definitions that we use. So the idea was this idea of like unlimited government just meant pizza for life, unlimited,
Fact.
I get it all. And
yeah.
he's like, well, that's actually the opposite of what I want kids to think. But we really struggle to like change that mindset. And he said, I teach it all year, and even at the end of the year, we're still kind of like, oh, we're still thinking unlimited is better than limited. We talked about, what about a visual icon where students sketchnote out this sort of visual library of what those words mean to them so that it's more than just associating it with kind of a verbal and or written meaning. And those visuals stay with us. They dig deeper into our brain and permeate in a way that will retain much, much longer than just remembering the standard written or verbal version. And so that, you know, is another way that you can build out those ideas and really think about how we access information. And not everybody accesses it from the verbal
yeah.
or from the written, right?
Boy, ain't that the truth. Wow, you're darn right. Okay, incredible. And I think back to when I was in school 10 million years ago, you know, this stuff never even came up. The teachers just talked, and you either got it or you didn't. Okay, and it's a better new world these days. I want to ask you one other thing, okay, if I may. All right, and that's about teacher retention. What was the attitude of the teachers that you dealt with? I know they were good and they gave you hugs and all that sort of thing. The rumor is that 50% of teachers are thinking about leaving, okay, the profession. As you teach your stuff, it's
yeah.
got to be on your mind. I know what's on the mind of – I mean, I work with Steve and I work with George over at Schlechte Center. I mean, it's on everybody's mind. What's your attitude about that, teacher retention?
Yeah.
I know you want it. You know what I mean.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I think, you know, anytime you're walking into a space and working with teachers right now, it's something that everyone is talking about and thinking about. I've not just with this group, but with many, many groups throughout this year, had conversations either with teachers or with administrators. And, you know, I've seen some teachers I've been working with for 10 plus years in kind of this role of training teachers and traveling around the U.S. some of my favorite teachers have left the profession, and it's heartbreaking.
Yep.
And I'm not just saying, like, pick a better school. Like, they are literally just leaving the profession, and it's really hard. I think that we have to, you know, just like you start your school year off and you need to cultivate those relationships with your students, and that's something you need to continue to do all year long. That's a big thing we talked about over the past 2 days in Design Camp is, you know, we get into this habit of, like, getting to know you only happens in September, you know, like getting to know you.
Right.
You change throughout the entire year.
Good point.
To get to know you all the time, right? And I think that's the same, that for me personally, that is the same relationship building that we need to be doing constantly, because you may have a teacher who comes to work with you who is excited right off the bat. They heard about this, or they, you know, really wanted to get into design, or they just don't even know what you're going to do. They're excited about the surprise. And then you have some teachers that are a little more hesitant, and they're weighing a lot of things, and they just finished an entire school year, and they're, like, stressed out. And, you know, building those relationships with everyone, no matter where they're coming to you from, is really critical. And then trying your best to sustain that. You know, like, one of the teachers, he was like, I'm going to email you. I have to go on this trip, and I'm going to get a lot of ideas, and I'm going to email you. Like, I'm going to email that teacher back immediately, because keeping and maintaining those relationships is what is going to build that retention over time. And that's the biggest piece, is, like, we have to just remember now, we have to just constantly check in on everyone all the time. That's
good point.
Just what it is.
It's a good point. And boy, we just face a lot of things, but this is a step in the right direction. I'll tell you, changing, redesigning, teaching people to think differently. Those are the kind of things that make people happy in their job. All right, what you guys are doing is great, because it shows them a different way to look at it at different times. Okay, and I just really congratulate you, Nancy and Kat and everybody at Schlechte. You guys just do great work. So thank you for being here. You guys are wonderful. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're always welcome, believe me. And Kat, turn up that air conditioner. Do it today. Cool the place down.
I was going to say that's a little antithetical to the Texas Energy Board, but we'll let them know you said it was okay.
I know. It's either freezing in Texas or it's burning hot in Texas. This is what's happening this year. Welcome to climate change or whatever. Okay? Ladies, you're great. Thank you so much for being here. Okay? You're terrific.
Thanks so much.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Two great ladies. Nancy Rendoni Downey, got it right, Nance, Senior Associate at Schlechte Center. And by the way, the Phil she referred to, P-H-I-L, is Phil Schlechte, okay, who founded the Schlechte Center. Okay, and Kat Crawford, who's the Executive Director of Digital Innovation there. And Schlechte Center, just like it sounds, S-C-H-L-E-C-H-T-Y. SchlechteCenter.org. Okay? Check it out. Good stuff. All right. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. Thanks for listening, everybody. Be safe.